J10, number 1B.
All right, so we see then Dave asked a very, very good point as we were changing the tape, that fundamental points that are being brought out in the 4th, 5th, and 6th chapter, that the whole problem is really ultimately simple. I think it's like Jesus said, my burden is light. And where he could show, and Mrs. Eddy also said so in the textbook, she said, the way is simple when pointed out. And so basically the root problem that we're dealing with is already presented to us in the Bible by the second record of creation. A mist went up. And it presents the first record of creation as we know in its exact opposite. As I just showed, mind is mind many, spirit is matter, soul is body, principle is personality, life is birth, maturity, and death, truth is mortal conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, and love is fear, hate, and jealousy. That's the exact opposite of seeing the world as the first, second, third, or fourth, or fifth, or sixth, or seventh day as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The second record is the exact reversal. Now, when I went through the textbook, preparing especially for a class in 1989 and 1988 and 1989 on the sixth chapter, I noticed that when Mrs. Eddy said, God was graciously preparing me, that naturally one had to go from prayer, picking up the qualities of the desire to know God as he is, and then atonement and Eucharist, dropping off those qualities of the human which weren't in line with the higher moral qualities, and then coming into marriage, which is, again is a very human quality chapter, having good human qualities in a marriage, which brings out higher relationships. And then finally, the question is, does man create man or does God create man? The child asks at the end of the 4th chapter, coming into that wonderful chapter of Christian Science versus Spiritualism, which is under the whole roof category of spirit, as Max has shown us. There again, it just drilled into me an awareness again of the fundamental problem that it's Christian Science versus Spiritualism, and that spiritualism is only the belief that principle can be turned into its opposite, that fundamental pattern in being is there. The universe is there, though there's only one world. It's spiritual. It's established. It's either understood or misunderstood. And therefore, if it's understood, we see it through the lens of spirit. If it's misunderstood, we see it through the lens of spiritualism. We see the reverse pattern. So it's spiritualism then is the belief that principle can be reversed. If we go to that reversal for our education, if we go to the mind, matter, body, personal opinions, death, mortal consciousness, and fear, system of reference for our understanding, that spiritualism, if we go to the wizards of Peep that teach that a system of reference, that spiritualism. And if we let that influence our life, that's animal magnetism, in the name of good and evil, as gods or goddesses, that's mythology. The opposite of then the 4th, 5th, and 6th chapters, all handled in this crisis of perception, as they see, as I was mentioning in Mind Walk, they see today we have a crisis of perception that we could see the world differently if we would forge new conceptual tools. And so, just believe it or not, for many, that it's just a question of education on these new tools that will let us see the world differently. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, Mrs. Eddy said, where mortal man appears to mortals. And in this correct view, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view healed the sick. Always was amazed that it just was He beheld in science the perfect man. For so long, that always seemed so abstract glory and not concrete being. But the more we begin to see, it's a crisis of perception. It's the what constitutes our consciousness in the categories of consciousness. It's up to us to culture consciousness in the categories of consciousness and see the world as God sees the world. Then we see the pattern as it is. Incredibly simple, but it takes practice as any subject. So let's then see here that we go on with our study questionnaire, and we'll see that the fundamental questions then will come, for example, on page 3 from the text of the class, which is based on compendiums, especially 4 through 10, Mind, Spirit, Soul, Principle, Life, Truth, and Love by Max Kapler. And there we will always keep the basic points of our subject of always first gaining the perfect concept or idea or divine value building. Getting always the concept clear of what mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love mean as we go on in our regular terminology and new terminology. We will eventually see when we make it into the 8 ordered steps into oneness with being how this tonality of the synonymous terms for God begins to build in our consciousness and tonality building to finally we have consciousness building. And once the tonality of those synonymous terms become the structure of our consciousness, they become the structure of our very own being. So concept building and then tonality building, consciousness building, and being building are just a rhythm of practice that helps make us one with the Infinite One. Then the root core or foundation from which the whole class gathers its structure is then Max Kapler's booklet, The Ordered Approach to the One Being. And here we will see then that tremendous step from metaphysics to science, really where we have the ordered steps to finding our oneness with being, or we could say the 8 ordered steps to finding our oneness with being, which enable us to resolve the personal I into the I am. Max himself had mentioned to me, and I'm sure many others have heard this on his tapes too, that these steps he gave out through his own journey from the ascending way of metaphysics into science, and finally science including metaphysics. When he looked at how the subject unfolded to him, he worked out these 8 ordered steps. He gave them to us. And they're just so beautiful. And when he looked back over his life and being the scientist as he is and thinking so exactly in categories, he then put together these 8 steps. And finally, as we begin to go through these 8 steps, we see how they logically go from metaphysics into divine metaphysics into scientific metaphysics. They begin to touch the levels of being and finally into science itself and the impact on metaphysics. All right, so what we want to do in this next half hour together before we retire this evening is to work together at the basic fundamental issues that we need in order to present a subject on the 8 ordered steps to oneness with being or resolving the personal I into the I am, taking the world from where it is that all is mental and the mental is it can think in good and evil, seeing the inadequacy of the human mind and taking it into the categories of the divine mind, which only we see so far in Christian science crowns the power of mind, capital M is the Messiah, and it certainly is the Messiah to our consciousness. We have learned through experience that our method is through revelation, reason, and demonstration, always working out from God. So I feel that the basic fundamental point for such a subject as the 8 steps is always being clear within our consciousness of this fundamental point. And I can't love it enough. I just love this statement. It is so basic in the textbook. It's one of those doing more with less in the economy of being herself. When Mrs. Eddy in Science and Health on page 423-24 should be a basic value in our teachings of this subject, is when we always ask those two questions, and these are the basic questions of the 6,000-year period of truth. What is truth, you see? So in that standpoint, the questions always are, what is reality? We want to know what objective reality consists of. And the next point is not only that, but how do I become one with this reality? Why? So ultimately, the structure of reality and the structure of our consciousness are one and the same thing. And so, therefore, and we are set free to master the infinite idea with a new structure of consciousness, seeing the pattern as it is and not as it appears as reversal. So she says here, both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being, according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. So she gives us these two points. Both science and consciousness are now at work. That's the tonality, as I said, of the 6,000-year period, really where we get the phenomenon of the textbook itself, Science and Health. She could have named her book Science and Consciousness. It's in the same tonality of truth. Science and Divine Consciousness. Science and Holistic Consciousness. However, she chose Science and Health because it was a truth tone, but it was where everybody was interested in health in those days, and that she brought it forth. But gee, if we brought forth the textbook today, I think we'd probably talk about science and consciousness. I think that would be the trick, and I bet Mrs. Eddy would change her title. She changed everything else, revised the textbook 432 times, was the first pioneer to restructure things, but always in the tonality of the 6,000-year period. So, and then the next statement she says in No and Yes, along these lines, on page 11, God's laws constitute our individuality. What is reality? What is science? What are God's laws? Point one. How do I become one with reality? What is consciousness? What constitutes our individuality? Always bringing it to ourselves. That saves the danger of getting that holy matrix or that holy model of being, that we can just get the letter and letter, so we're so tired of the letter, it doesn't cut any more ice, does it? It just becomes a word game, a glass bead game, as our friend wrote the book, you know? The Magister Ludi, who's off playing the bead game that nobody else knows. It would be no more than just spinning beads, huh? Going from one bead to another, from one level to another, on reality consists of the science itself level, then the next bead, reality consists of divine science, the next one of absolute Christian science or Christian science. Just always needing those beads to keep the exercise. Where one, it's consciousness, we have gone through science and past science into being itself. We're set free. We've gone from the irrational through the rational to the irrational. We're set free. So the goal is that the structure of science and the structure of consciousness is one. That's the fundamental building block behind the 8 steps. That's why we do them. That's its goal. Then, what is that? Then we say to ourselves, okay, but now where, not only in the textbook, do we see that as the basic foundation of her teachings. These two points, what is reality and how do I become one with reality, that's what? That is the truth, that is the whole basic truth This is Truth's volume of the 6,000-year period. And Truth's volume is epitomized in the sixth chapter, which is the Christ is the Christ, kind of truth is truth tone there, the Christ in its Christ. And it's epitomized always on page 115 and 116, gives you the root of this, of her textbook. That's giving us the root explanation of science and health. And so therefore, this is, if we don't understand the first and second translations, as we say, we'll never get Mrs. Eddy's writing. Everything hinges on the first and second translation. We can't tell ourselves this enough, and we can't tell our students enough. We keep coming back to these translations over again. I do it all the time. And every time I come back, it's always fresh and new, because it's the basis of our teaching. And so we come back and say, all right, on page 115, she gives us what we call the first translation, the scientific translation of Immortal Mind. I'm going to just give the quick epitomization of this because it's all we need to know at this point. Here we see in that scientific translation of Immortal Mind, according to the marginal headings of the divine synonyms, divine image, divine reflection, we see that the first translation is always how principle God presents what it is as idea. That's the first translation. God is always presenting what it is as idea, called the ideational universe, called the ideational earth, or called ideational man. It's always God presenting what the universe, including man, is as idea. But also it's how God brings to us individual ideas. Principles always bringing to us the right idea for a specific situation, isn't it? And so our method is always through revelation, reason, and demonstration that we are working, always. That's why we open up to crown the power of mind as the Messiah, reasoning from cause to effect. We begin with mind, and can only be seen through its idea and never its opposite matter, because the divine mind is always open to revelation of what that idea is that's coming to us. And also always open to revelation of what we are as the idea of God, the image of God. So as an idea, we exist as an image in mind. We're an idea or a divine hologram, so to speak. A holographic image exists in the photographic plate. So as an image, we exist in the mind of God, and that we can never be destroyed because we're an idea. The only way we can get rid of idea is to destroy the original plate, and the original plate is principle God, and that can never be destroyed, ever, can it? So this is the first translation, and we go over it and love it more and more, reasoning from cause to effect. We begin with mind that can only be understood through its idea and never its opposite matter. That principle God is always presenting the perfect image. It comes first. The perfect image is there. It's that perfect pattern. It's there. Now, what if we are going out from the categories of the second record of creation, from the belief of reversal in mind, matter, body, personality, death, mortal consciousness, fear, and we're going to that, and we're letting it influence us in the name of good and evil, according to the gods and goddesses' teachings. Then we say to ourselves, all right, now, a retranslation must occur. Do we have to do something because we say, all right, it's a crisis of perception. I'm seeing the reversal. I live in the reverse world. I'm seeing everything turned upside down. I'm experiencing the effect of the mind, matter, body belief as death, mortal consciousness in imperfection. Just the effect of a belief. If we didn't take mortal mind, matter, and body as our basis, we would never experience death, mortal consciousness, or imperfection. It's an experience of a belief only. So therefore, because the mist goes up and we go out from the Adam man and we go out from the second record of creation, we're looking at the original pattern from the upside down through the glass darkly of reversal, then a retranslation must occur. But God does it. This is nothing we do in any of these translations. Principle God presents what we are as idea, and then, as Mrs. Eddy shows on page 115, Principle God, or the Christ, retranslates out anything that isn't like that idea. Anything in us that isn't like the idea of God is retranslated back into the original image. So therefore, through that self-operating, self-regulating, error-correcting, mistake-friendly system, the Christ itself, through the scientific translation of mortal mind, or what we call the second translation, automatically brings the universe, including man, back. And I say the universe, including man, because I want to mention that the universe is under these beliefs also, and that the earth is under these beliefs also, and so is man. Very important to see here, because you see that when we look up in the glossary, she defines earth two ways. She says, to one state of consciousness, earth is material. To another, it's spiritual. And something that always, always struck my attention is when she says that sin existed as a false claim before the human concept of sin was formed. Therefore, sin doesn't depend on the human brain. That the human brain comes way down the line of evolution. That things on earth died way before the human came along. But not only that, we see that the universe, when we hear about the Big Bang, also in the teachings of Stephen Hawking and these theoretical physicists, they see that there could be a big crunch, that the universe itself is under the claim that it began in a Big Bang, it matures, and it dies in a big crunch. The universe. But not only the universe begins, but all our, like our stars, our sun, began, didn't it, through the gathering together of the stuff that was out there after the Big Bang. It just clumped together into our galaxy, and then into our solar system, and then into our sun. Is a clumping together of what they call matter. We'll see later on. They call it matter, but it isn't. When you see it as idea, not matter. But they say it clumped together, and that our sun was born through the clumping together. It matures. I think it's in a state of maturity now. And it's going to die someday. And the earth will be cold and desolate. And then the earth will begin to, in its birth, maturity, and death, as well as man in birth, maturity, and death. This is claim is against the universe. It's a claim earth, and it's against man. And so what I began to see is, this is so good. I always wrote in the books, in my book that I wrote on the imperative step, and then the other one on the physical, mental, and spiritual. I just, for the lack of knowing anything else to write, when somebody had said, would you sign this, I always, always wrote from the beginning of the creation chapter, eternal truth is changing the universe. I just liked it. I figured it's built on the first, the word and the Christ, and here the outcome is Christianity, our response. And I felt God's doing it, we're not doing it, God writes the text, we don't write the text. So I always wrote eternal truth was changing the universe. It isn't until recently do I really understand the implications of that. It's changing the universe, including the earth, including the man, from a false explanation into a right explanation. And when that happens, the universe will no longer be under these so-called laws of birth, maturity, and death, the Big Bang, the development, and the Big Crunch. And the earth will be no longer under the birth, maturity, and death. And man will be no longer under birth, maturity, and death. That once we get the categories, not according to the way the brain has been educated in the limited system of reference that works with spiritualism, animal magnetism, and mythology, the reversal, and we open ourselves to the categories of the divine system of reference, and we exercise through the 8 steps in concept building, tonality building, consciousness and building, and being building, these 8 steps, that we will see the pattern as it is. The pattern universe, the pattern earth, and the pattern us. We will see it as it is, and there will be the cessation of death, sorrow, and pain. It's a present possibility. St. John saw it. It's something we should be able to do now. And I do think it's a present possibility. I think from what we will do together in this class, we will touch on the exercises that will make that a present possibility. And I honestly feel that if we were of one mind, as Mrs. Eddy said, we would help change the universe. Not our mentality, but our accepting the what is, our accepting the divine infinite calculus. Isn't that the 7,000-year period when thought accepts the divine infinite calculus? That's all our job. We don't do anything. We aren't the Word. We don't declare what God is or bring God to idea. We're not the Christ. We don't make the translation and retranslation happen. All we can do is accept it from the mind of Christ. When that type of mentality, when there's openness, there was one Jesus, you see, that there's a transparency on earth, these things will go very rapidly. It just takes one or two, Mrs. Eddy said. If one or two of them, the one mind in this class, we would change the universe. I'm convinced of it. It's consciousness and receptivity. What we do here can help bring in the millennium and see the cessation of death, sorrow, and pain, categories of reasoning for the universe, including man, including us. And I think that we will come to a time where it will be normal and natural for people to know that they do not die. And things that will be very unusual that will go on. Mrs. Eddy said you can reproduce those who have gone on. The breakdown of a here or a there or those here and there as idea. Naturally, the higher sense of the spiritual realm is we go on to diviner forms. We don't lose our identity, but it's just higher states of consciousness with diviner images and forms always as we go higher. But we never lose our identity, ever. No one ever does. That's the difference between science and mysticism. But this is what's happening. It's a universal, collective, and individual change that is occurring. And all we do is welcome the Christ idea to take the universe, including man, from the first degree of depravity. That's the first thing it will do. Take away the physical claims that the laws governing the universe are physical. Just because the physicists say they're physical doesn't mean they're physical, as we'll see when we work with the laws as we advance on. Mrs. Eddy says there that the law of gravity is a law of mind. It's not a law of matter. Call it matter. But because Jesus knew it was a law of mind, he walked on the water. Because the disciples thought it was a law of matter, they sank. Just different states and stages of consciousness on the same law of gravity. It either was the buoyancy principle of adhesion, cohesion, of attraction, which held him up, that attractive force of mind, or it was adhesion, cohesion, and attraction that pulled them down. The second record, the same law, either seen through our categories or the other. To see the crisis of perception, it's just a switch in consciousness. We can do it by culturing these steps. They're so simple. This is what makes it beautiful. And you know that when the physicists see these laws today, they say they know they're right because they're elegant and simple. And beautiful. They're simple, but always simple. All right, so the Christ idea in page 115 takes us from a physical explanation, and then she gives us all these qualities within the human that have to be dropped, such as evil beliefs, passions, appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, all those qualities that aren't like God, because the mind is going to make us mind-like. Spirit is going to make us spirit-like. Soul is going to make us soul-like. So our nature and God nature is one. That's the goal. The reality and consciousness becomes one. So as it takes us away from these qualities, it's a science of ideas, a science of qualities, and takes the universe, including man, through a transitional stage. The universe right now is going through the transitional stage. We're in it. Can't be in a bigger chaotic movement, wilderness period than now. And the universe